Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete and another touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hour number three of Cougar Sports Saturday is off and running. You know, it's Big 12 basketball is kind of crazy. I mean, that's no new news there. I mean, every game in this league is kind of wild, but I did not see this one coming. Right now in Manhattan, Kansas, K-State is up 60-53 on number six Iowa State. So the Cyclones, I mean, they're squarely number two in the Big 12 tournament. They're going to probably stay there. Kansas State, though, they win this one. This is a big quad one victory for them if they can finish the job. They'd maybe get back into the conversation to give the Big 12 maybe a 10th big NCAA tournament bid. I mean, that's what we're talking about here with the Big 12. So upsets, you know, possibly happening here on the regular season finale Saturday here in the Big 12 play. But let's get back to BYU football. I caught up with BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff and this quarterback battle and how the quarterbacks have looked so far as they continue that quarterback battle with Gary Bohannon.
Jake, the quarterback battle, I think everyone's talking about it on the outside. What's the intensity of this quarterback battle, if at all, between you and Gary right now?
I honestly wouldn't say there's any, like, rival intensity. Like, me and Gary get along really well, and we have a lot of fun together. We feed off each other's energy and stuff like that. So, you know, we're not worried about, you know, being enemies, you know what I mean, off the field. It's just like, you go do your thing, I go do mine when I'm in. And so it's not hard to be cool with the guy when you're not actually right in front of him every play. It's just like you're in, then he's in. So, no, it's great. It's a love-push competition. It makes everybody better.
So it's got to be a lot of fun then, the relationship between you guys.
Yeah, me and Gary have a lot of fun. It's great.
What's the objectives that you're looking to achieve personally and as a team on the offensive side for this team in these 15 practices?
Just develop as an offense. I talked to some of the guys, and we feel like we're miles ahead of where we were last year at this point. And so, like, just keep developing on the nuances and stuff, getting with those guys, and especially guys that have been in the offense, getting that cohesion together, getting that thing. So I'm excited for it. I think we got a lot of promise coming into this spring.
Am I off, Jake? And coming out of that game at Stillwater, I was there in Oklahoma State. It was a high emotion game how it finished. And it just felt like there was that outcome. I mean, it was tough in the moment, but in a way, it felt like it brought a lot of guys back to where there's like this urgency and momentum that maybe hasn't been here in years past. Am I off? Like, does it feel like there's kind of this? How the season ended last year is really kind of motivating guys right now.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, the way we finished those last two games, even I'd throw Oklahoma in Lavelle in there also, because like we went and competed against the best in the nation. One team went on to the Big 12 championship. The other team was the next bid in the Big 12 championship. We got the confidence to go do it. Our offense started figuring things out towards the end of the year, and we started rolling a little bit. And to be honest, like, we've picked up right where we left off last season, and so like we're super excited. We're ready to go. We understand what this offense can do. Even though we didn't do it last year, we were starting to do it, and we're starting to get that mojo together, and the guys really believe in it. I'll tell you what, the guys really believe in what we can do because we did it against the best at the end of last year.
And how much confidence do you have in this playbook and what Aaron Roderick expects for you? He just noted with us that you're kind of like a new guy, like you're taking a step forward here.
Yeah, I mean, I was a new guy a year ago, and it was like warming up to the offense and figuring things out. It was the first time I took a real snap under center. I was in gun and JUCO in high school. So, yeah, no, it's – The maturing into the offense is a real thing, and it's awesome. It's going out there with a different mindset now. It's like I've banked all these reps, and I know how most plays turn out versus what coverages and stuff like that, so I know what to expect. So it's just super exciting to go out there with every opportunity. It's a new opportunity, and I just treat it like that, and it's awesome. This offense can flourish.
You noted last week that you were putting some work with John Beck. How did that come to be? Was that something that you were doing last year, or did that kind of materialize this past winter?
Yeah, so obviously when I came to BYU, the connection was made pretty quickly. You know what I mean? He's out of Huntington Beach. He's out of Golden West College, and I went there in my first JUCO. So, like, I'd seen those guys thrown on the field. I'd actually thrown with them one time. I didn't know who John Beck was at the time. I was throwing with one of the other coaches. But it was easy to make that. It was last summer I went out there and really had my first, like, you know, mini camp with John, and Keaton was out there with me. so that was cool. And then at, right after the season, it was the first thing. I'm like, I'm home. What else should I be doing other than being with John at Echo of the West? And it's sunny Southern California, so you don't got to worry about weather. And so, John's great. I mean, the guy's a pro, and his IQ for every little thing about the game, every little thing about quarterback is so high that I just feed off of that, and I just be asking questions left and right just to get some information. And because that guy's got some knowledge of the game, and he's helped me out in an incredible amount.
How much has it helped with, you know, executing on offense in spring ball to have wide receivers like Chase Roberts, Darius Laster back, Cody Epps, a lot of options, and Keelan Marion? Pretty much everyone's back.
Yeah, no, that's one of the biggest things as well. Those guys, like Keelan and Darius, didn't come in until fall camp last year, you know what I mean? So, like, that is just so big to have already the bank reps, plus now it's spring, now we get to try new things, now we get to see what he does in these different situations. It's awesome, and I love it, and so we're just taking advantage of every rep.
Has life been a little bit different for you, being now more recognized? Because you noted you were here last year in January, probably kind of a new face that not many people knew, but now you've had four starts, you've been part of this program, and you're vying to be the face of the program. I mean, is it a little bit different around town now?
I go to a basketball game. I went to the TCU game where our basketball team put on a heck of a show when they came back in that second half. And, like, we're walking out of the building. Like, you get guys who are just like, what up, Jake? Like, what's up? How you doing? And so it's cool to get that. And I'm just giving the Go Cougs right back to them. And it's pretty awesome to see that kind of support and the recognition. It's like, I got a helmet on, and they're still recognizing me at a basketball game. So that's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome. It's cool to get embraced by this community.
Well, Jake, best of luck in this battle in spring and throughout this offseason. Looking forward to following it every step of the way.
Appreciate you.
Good to have a quick check-in with Jake Retzlaff, fellow Laker fan. Always got to throw that in about
that
Jake.
That was a nice win last night, too.
That was a good win for the Lake Show, and we'll see if Jake can get a win in the quarterback race. I feel like he's the favorite, but, you know, hey, we'll see how it all plays out.
How do you think it will get improved?
Well, I think you're not going to name anyone until maybe snap number one against Southern Illinois, because this year, if you're Kalani and Roderick, you do not, under any circumstances, name a starter at the end of spring. Because, say you named Gary Bohannon the starter at the end of spring. What does Jake Retzlaff do?
Gone.
Leaving. I'm in the portal. There's no incentive to name anything. You want to maintain those numbers? Now, maybe you do have a few guys bounce. You know, he got 10 quarterbacks. You're not going to have all of them. Like, this is not the 80s when Steve Young's quarterback eight. Like, they're just not going to stay, you know, forever. But I think it's going to be one of those, you're going to see it snap one against Southern Illinois. And I'm okay with that. You know, that's fine. Like, in other years when it was Jaren Hall and you're coming back from COVID, I thought that was a really momentum builder for the fans. Like, hey, you're back. Here's your quarterback. Rally around this guy. This year, I don't think it's one of those things where you need to keep it proprietary against the Salukis, but it's like you might need every single snap building up to that game to really say, okay, this is our guy.
The thing that will be so interesting, we've watched Jake Retzlaff now for two springs and a fall and four games of football. Jake is not a great practice quarterback.
Yep.
It's just – and that's
– and it should be added – that's not a bad thing. Taysom Hill, not a great practice quarterback.
I was just going to say, he clearly can take it to another level when the lights are on and does things that you can't simulate in practice. And I think for those reasons, he'll be the starting quarterback when it's all said and done. But it does make it hard in a practice setting to feel like, oh, yeah, he's taking a lead. Like, we're there when we're allowed to be. And I haven't noticed anything out of the ordinary. And that doesn't necessarily mean he's not going to be better.
And
he could be better, but it's just hard to see in practice.
And that could be by design. You know, Aaron Roderick probably doesn't want to reveal much to us. That's fine. But there hasn't been, just even with an intermediate throw, where you go, whoa. Like, you can see some, like, the velocity, the spin.
Because we felt that way with Jaren and with Keaton.
Keaton, and it's not a shock. I mean, he's still got a chance to go to the combine. And he did a great job at the combine. We might be talking about Keaton Slovis being a 6th, 7th round pick.
Right.
And, like, look, and if any, like, we've watched a lot of BYU football in our time, you know, covering this team since we started in 2019 together. Think about the quarterbacks we have watched. We know what an NFL quarterback looks like. I feel pretty good. You and I, we've seen NFL QBs at BYU and got three consecutive starting quarterbacks of professional quarterbacks and how they throw the ball. So far through 2 weeks of practice, I'm not seeing any signs of that level of throws in a practice setting. And that gets a little bit worrisome when you're going into a schedule that, look, it's going to have 11 games that could be at a minimum 50-50, or you could be the underdog. That's what it is this year.
Yep.
And it's a tall task. I saw Dennis Dodds, CBS Sports, Spring Top 25. Six of BYU's 2024 opponents are on his top 25, one of which is a non-conference team, SMU, number 19.
Jeez.
SMU loaded up in the portal, and they were an 11-win team last year. We forget that. But that was a very good SMU team, and they've got a sense of urgency now that they're in the ACC, and they're throwing the money like crazy with those boosters.
Jeez.
So, buckle up.
Who knows if this will remain true with SMU and other teams in that top 25, but why did we schedule them?
I mean, BYU needed a game. SMU needed games. But SMU needed more inventory than BYU. I would have said, okay, let's do the home and home, but you're coming to Provo first.
Right.
You need it more than us. Like, BYU, I'm sure, could have said there could have been some strings pulled with the Big 12.
Look, this team, like, what BYU did last year, I don't hate now that you're a power team. Now, for the fans, it's not great not to have sexy matchups early, but why don't you just have somebody come into town?
I completely agree. They should have just got a Conference USA team. It's an FBS squad.
An independent team.
Hey, this new Kennesaw State, step on in. Here's $2 million to come get
right.
Thumped 14-0. But you're going to walk away with an L, and BYU's going to be 2-0.
Right.
And you got four more wins that you need to get to the postseason.
And whoever is the starting quarterback may have benefited from that more because you just get a couple games under your belt.
And then the Wyoming game in week three, we'll break down the schedule throughout the whole summer, but that's a game where BYU should win that. Like I kind of early look at Wyoming's roster. BYU's got better personnel, but it's the whole Liberty thing. You yes. know, like when Hugh Freeze said, gentlemen, you're about to play the biggest game this school's ever played. That's what it's going to be for Wyoming.
Yep.
You know they're going to buy into the storylines. Barrelman's going to probably do a pregame speech. He's going to be like, guys,
please.
Ty Detmer crushed me so many years. Do not let this team take you down. You should hate everything about BYU. That's what it'll be for Wyoming. And that's where, again, like, what was going on with some of the thought process behind some of this non-conference scheduling? So, you know, it was not wise when you are not a team that has a clear sense of identity on either side of the ball in the Big 12 right now. So it's going to be a tough year for BYU. But look, there's a lot of opportunity, and how awesome would it be if they surprise us all? But
yep.
To get to six wins would be quite the accomplishment for this team.
Let's take a break. We'll switch gears back to hoops, preview the Oklahoma State game, and about 10 minutes from now, we'll have former BYU Cougar guard Jake Toulson. He'll talk about the team and preview the matchup with us as well. A lot more to go here on Cougar Sports Saturday.